What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Tuesday night, it's November 12th, 2024. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Twitch channel. So if you're not already subscribed or like any of those or follow any of those, do so, please. Hit that like button, follow button, subscribe button, notification bell if you're on YouTube so you know when we're dropping our latest episode. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb in the house. Webby, how are we doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, Tan. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah, I mean, we're used to Purdue football losing by now. Purdue basketball is 3-0 with a huge test coming up Friday night. And I'm not going to talk about my NFL team because I'm still depressed. And as you probably are with yours. So
yeah.
Different reasons, but
yeah.
That's no, can't complain too much, but let's get right into Purdue basketball talk. Like I said, the Boilers are 3-0. Last time we talked, they were 1-0, beating Texas A&M Corpus Christi. But since then, they beat the Norse of Northern Kentucky. And then last night, survived, I'm going to call it, the Yale Bulldogs. Scrappy team that just wouldn't go away.
Yeah, a team that won the Ivy League last year and beat Auburn in the first round of the tournament. I think they lost a handful of guys, but they still had some guys returning, including, oh, what's his name? Polakitis, who just would not, I mean, single-handedly kept Yale in that game last night, especially at the very end when it looked like Purdue might be able to kind of bust open the lead in the last 2 minutes. He just hit big shot after big shot after big shot. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah. It always seems like Purdue runs into one of those guys every non-conference on a mid-major level team, somebody that kind of keeps them hanging around longer than they should. But yeah, credit to him. I don't know if he has any years of eligibility left, but I texted you and Andrew last time, like, that's the portal? Question mark.
Yeah, there's something too, I think, about some of the Ivy League. I think like they can't do all that. I don't know what it was. There was something, I think Brian Newber talked about how, like, had he not been in the Ivy League or whatever. I think it's something weird with the Ivy League where they can't transfer. I don't know. It's something he said something in his, I think, one of his posts. I don't remember.
Well, that's interesting because I thought
maybe if he played 4 years, I don't know. I have no idea.
I think commentary was kind of alluding to last night that Yale kind of got blitzed by the portal.
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe I understood, misunderstood Robbie, and I think it was Kevin Kugler was the other one. Yeah, which they did a good job. But shout out to the crowd. Shout out to the paint crew last night. Everybody was loud. No crazy chants this week. So it looks like Evan's frozen. Hopefully I'm not frozen. I'm not sure, but shout out to everybody in attendance. Oh, okay, I got you now. You were frozen.
I wonder if that was me or you. You froze on my end.
You froze on my end, so yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who was there. Maybe both of us.
Yeah. But
like I said, shout out to everybody at Mackey last night, including yourself. Everybody was loud. Paint crew was good, and no controversial chants.
Yeah.
Last night.
I was going to ask you how, before I froze, how was the commentary? I know this is Robbie's third game for us. No, second game.
They were good. Yeah. Especially for Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
No complaints at all. Knowledgeable. No homer bias. Robbie does a pretty good job with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, man, after Colvin's dunk, that was really loud on TV.
Yeah, it got really loud then. I feel like for all I've been fortunate to be, I've been at all three home games so far. It definitely feels like there is a lot of, like, because, you know, these games have kind of been closer than, you know, what we've been used to these last couple of years when it comes to non-conference games. So it feels like there's a little bit of a nervous energy, like when it's like, you know, pretty hovering around that 8-12 point lead. It's like, okay, like, are we gonna bust this open for 30? But I think it also just speaks to the competition that one that Painter has set up, but then also just shows how much change this team is going through and will go through, just trying to figure things out. Where, because it felt like it, because last night, except for like the Colvin dunk a few times, I was like, man, this feels like there were a couple times where Purdue was up, you know, 7-10. And I was like, man, this place should be like you know, being going bonkers right now, trying to get that extra, you know, on defense. It just wasn't hitting. But also, again, it's November crowd, that sort of thing. I mean, it was full, but it just kind of felt like there was still some nervous. There was definitely some nervous energy last night.
Yeah, I didn't get nervous at all watching on TV, even when it was a 6-point game with a couple minutes left. Now, if it would have got 6-point game with, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes left. I know they did chip away at the end, but then maybe I would have gotten nervous. But I don't know. I haven't gotten nervous yet, even though there have been times it's like, all right, we can tighten up these, you know, unforced turnovers.
Yeah.
Box out a little better. We can play a little better defense. We can communicate better on defense. I mean, they can do all that better. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But haven't got too nervous yet, and I'm not freaking out. I can't believe Knucklehead Central and just on X, on Facebook, on social media, everybody freaking out so much right now. It's like, is it just because of all the success Purdue's had the last
maybe
4 years or what?
I also wonder too, like how much of football not being good this year, if that's like, it's like, you know, after God, the Wisconsin game, it was like, all right, basketball's almost here. And then now, like, you know, as basketball's not, you know, blowing people out by 40, it's like, oh my God, are we going to, you know, endure a, you know, another season of, you know, is it going to not be dominant, which I don't think Purdue's going to be dominant this year by any means. I'm not sure there's any Big Ten team right now, as of right now, that's proven to be a dominant team like we saw last year with Purdue and even Illinois to some extent, as obviously they made the Elite Eight. But yeah, it was just like I was getting a little nervous towards the end and even like some of the other games, but I still feel confident like Purdue's got an answer. Like it always seemed like whenever it got tight, like Purdue had something that they up their sleeve to score. Someone stepped up, whether it was Braden, Fletcher, TKR, anybody. I mean, last night was Heidi hit some big shots. But yeah, people were just freaking out. It cracks me up. But
and you know, I've been seeing some stuff today circulating on X. It's like, okay, Purdue needs more contribution from guys because you're gonna, you know, Braden Fletcher have been dynamite so far. Trey Cobburn, I think he's been good, but he's getting pounded online. He's all right.
Nuts.
And then everybody else is like, somebody else has got to step up. I'm like, most teams would take three strong horses to begin with.
These
expectations, I'm like, let's just pump the brakes.
Let's see here. So I'm looking at points. We had 30 bench points last night.
Yeah.
CJ had 12. Miles had 9. Cam had 9. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Caleb and Raleigh didn't score, but it's like,
you got to shoot to score too.
Yeah. Shoot to score. I thought Trey's been playing really well. Obviously he's not scoring like we maybe thought he would, but he's doing a lot of it. Like his passing looks so good right now. Like it looks so improved. The reason Purdue got a first couple buckets was because of Trey.
Right.
The reason Cam got his open shots was, I'm pretty sure, was because of Trey. I think he was in because Trey was the 5 in that.
Yes.
At that point in the game, and Cam was playing the 4. He's obviously not like he's not going to be the rim protecting center that we've been accustomed to the last couple of years, but well, no duh, he's like 6'10" at best.
Right.
And he's not like a high flyer either. Like he's definitely a below the rim big, but I thought he's been fine. Like you said, like most people would kill just to have like two guys in their starting lineup that like could go off. Like usually someone always has like at least one guy, you know, it's a guard or whatever, but like the fact that Purdue has 3 easy ones like every night should get theirs. That's we're spoiled.
Yeah, and I think Purdue fans just need to be patient. I still think this team's going to take some lumps this offseason, and it could happen Friday night, and it could happen next Tuesday, if we're being honest.
And watching off, it looked really freaking good.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it'd be a tough Houston team.
So, Auburn, and I haven't watched A&M play, but that won't be – I mean, and the San Diego stuff isn't going to be easy either. Yeah. So, I mean, they might take some lumps, and that's okay. And I think this team is going to be one of those teams that gets better as the year goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And once they gel, presuming they stay healthy the rest of the way, hopefully their one big injury is out of the way with Daniel Jacobson, the 7'4" freshman getting hurt second possession in the Northern Kentucky game and now out for the year, medical red shirt, broken tibia, which that's why I'm not a doctor. It didn't look very bad to me on replay, like when it happened, but
Yeah, it's when crazy. it happened right in front of me. I saw him go down, but I thought, I was like, oh, maybe they just like, cause it looked like, I was like, oh, they definitely like, because you saw like there was a collision. I was like, mm-hmm. oh man, like maybe they just like bang shins or whatever. And he kind of was like hobbling off. I was like, man, that's, I mean, I know like getting hit in the shin really hurts. And then when he went off, he went straight to the locker room. I was like, okay, maybe it's a little more serious than I thought, because yeah. otherwise usually those guys would just go to the bench and kind of, you know, figure it out. But I was like, then he like, he wasn't coming back after a while. I was like, okay, this is this is not good.
Yeah.
That really sucks just from a developmental standpoint. Yeah. But I think, yeah, to your point, I think this is kind of maybe even like a classic Painter team, where like, you know, they struggle out the gate a little bit, and then, you know, by January, February, they're right mm-hmm. there where we think they can be. Cause there's just so much, I mean, between now the three freshmen now, I guess they're going to be playing. There's going to be a lot. And obviously you got a bunch of guys playing some new positions when it comes mm-hmm. to Trey, even Cam playing, you know, some three that's been a struggle, and even, you know, Miles trying to get in there, you're in his spot. It's going to take, mm-hmm. It's going to take a bit.
And it's going to be, I think this is one of the Purdue teams where it could be somebody's night, any given night. Mm-hmm. It's going to be last night, Colvin Heidi. Friday night, it might be Jakari and CJ. I don't know. You know, we haven't seen Jakari really go off yet scoring, but I'm sure he's going to mm-hmm. have his time. So that's also the fun part of watching this team, I think, develop. Mm-hmm. But it just, I don't know, I've just been kind of chuckling at some of the comments of people just freaking out. I'm like, three games in. Yes, and you're writing players off.
Like, yeah, definitely feels like a team that, you know, could very well beat Alabama on Friday, but then we drop, you know, lose to a Nebraska team that looks kind of, you know, meh right now. Like something like that was like lose to a team we really shouldn't.
Yep. Beat a team maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. One of those things. But yeah, it's I've enjoyed, I really like this team. Fletcher has been incredible. Braden, it's just crazy just how he's, you watch, he's like, he is the best player on the court. Like it's without a question. I mean, the Friday may be some competition with Sears and that loaded roster, but it's just like, just from watching him as a freshman to now, it's like he's just gotten obviously so much better, which no duh, when you start every game for 2 years, you'd hope you get better. But he's just so smart, so heady, and he just has that game kind of on a string.
And even when he has like an uncharacteristic turnover, you know he's going to make up for it somewhere down the line. That's why last night there was a couple times, like there was a backcourt one time where he kind of got, I don't even know really what happened. Like he picked up his dribble too quick, or didn't he jump it up in the air and he flipped it, which I thought, I don't know if it was Miles or who it was.
It was Trey. It was he
across the court, but
yeah. So when it happened, Mackey lost it. Cause I was the guy I sit next to, he's still was, or is a high school ref. And I probably should look this up for college, but I'm pretty sure you have to establish yourself
before.
And when Trey jumped, he was back court. So when he caught the ball, he said, not establish himself in the front court. Yeah, maybe just replay, and the whole place like went nuts. And me and my guy next to me were like, no, that was the right call. Like as that someone who loves to yell at the refs and get have any excuse, I was like, no, I think that's the right, like, that was like 100% the right call. To Thad's point. Yeah. Bearded Braden has unlocked all true powers. Cause it's, yeah, he looks good.
Yes, he does. Hopefully keeps it going. Like you said, hopefully keeps it going Friday. Sears is going to be a problem. He was a problem for us last year up in Canada. I mean, man, they started off as hot as somebody could shooting.
Yeah.
But Purdue withstood the first few haymakers thrown and outlasted them in a game that was a final score of, if I can pull it up here, 92-86 last year. I mean, it was in the first half, Purdue was down 49-47 at half. Talk about high scoring.
Yeah, and that was after Alabama went like thermonuclear from three. So it was like, okay. Yep. I remember going to halftime, I was like, okay, you know, they just went, we should be down 25 right now, and we're down two or whatever. Like, so that's why I felt pretty confident. But that was one of many just awesome games to watch last year, where just kind of, you know, towards the end, you had Big Maple down there. He just put the team on his back and carried us to victory.
Yep.
But that was a hell of a game. That's a hell of a team. Obviously, the team that made the Final Four.
Yep.
So this would be the storylines will be plentiful on Friday.
Yep. 7 o'clock tip Friday night on Peacock. So once again, if you don't have that subscription for Peacock, you better do so. This is the first, I believe, of 6 games Purdue's going to be on Peacock for this year, if I'm not mistaken. So at least 6. So better get that going. This will be the 6th matchup all time between the Crimson Tide and the Boilermakers on the hardwood. Last year, of course, was played in Toronto, Ontario, which we just talked about, 92-86 victory by the Boilers. Before that, you got to go back to 2011-12. It was also a neutral site game in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Boilers are on the losing side of that one, 65-56. I remember that being a really bad offensive game for Purdue that night. They could not hit the broadside of the barn. And then the year before, Purdue played, it was part of a home and home. So Purdue played them 3 years straight. 10-11 would have been your freshman year, my sophomore year. Purdue smacked them around 66-47. Year before that, it was probably the most memorable game of the series until last year. A win in Tuscaloosa by the score of 73-65 on a night that Mark Ingram was crowned the Heisman Trophy winner. Place was going nuts, and Purdue was down a majority of the game, and then Chris Kramer just kind of took over last 7 minutes or so, and Purdue won that game. And then their first matchup, I was not at this game, but I remember my dad was, 2000-2001, NIT at Mackey. Purdue lost 85-77, and I don't remember the details. I think it doesn't say overtime, but I thought it went to overtime because I remember my dad telling me this was the Elite Eight of this NIT, and the band started playing New York, New York.
Oh, God.
Or start spreading the news or something.
Yeah. Alabama,
like, it was late in the game that Alabama came back and won the game. So, yeah.
I was already to ask if Alabama's ever been to Mackey before. Obviously, it's been.
Yeah, we saw it. We saw it. So, yeah. I don't remember much about that game. Well, no, excuse me. 10-11 would have been my freshman year.
Yep.
Never mind, your senior year of high school. Yes, because that was Purdue's first undefeated season in Mackey in a long time. Was that year. Now we've done it a couple times since. So, yes, Thad Mooney on Facebook, cancel your Big Ten Plus. Well, you will need it for the Marshall game.
Yeah, next Saturday if you're not going. Yeah.
Because it's a nooner and it's college football, of course, on Saturday. But after that, you won't need it. So thank you, Thad. I actually think I'm going to the Marshall game next Saturday. So I don't think... So yes, I should go ahead and cancel it because I will forget. I'll get charged $12.99 next month. I'll be really mad. But in all honesty, as much flack as we give Big Ten Plus, it is cool for the non-revenue sports.
There is
a lot of games you can watch on there. So
And it's cool as much as they're not great, just to have some of those like inexperienced broadcasting opportunities for the students. I assume it's cool, but
But it's just the $12.99. It used to be $9.99. I don't know why they bumped it up, but because they know guys like you and me are going to do it. And but you actually did it for your wife. You're the kindest of your heart, so she could watch her alma mater, the Indiana Hoosiers. So that was very kind of you. Which somehow, Andy Katz moves them up in his power rankings, even though they were down with 15 minutes to go to Eastern Illinois. But whatever. Who cares about that stuff, I guess. So. But I have not watched Alabama at all.
Me neither. They've struggled. I mean, they actually also won by 8 last night against McNeese, which is Will Wade. Will Wade's team. That's a tough team, and so it's a pretty. I mean, that's a team that won like 30 games last year. They've been.
And they were the darling to make a deep run,
Cinderella
run, and they got knocked out. They got blitzed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I fell for that. I think I had them like in the Sweet 16 or something. Yeah. But they're legit, obviously. Be interesting to see because obviously this will be almost everybody on that team's first trip to Mackey in an environment like Mackey, except for one, and that's Cliff Amore, who's the transfer.
Oh, we're done with him.
Transfer from Rutgers, who is actually one of the few people in college basketball who's actually won in Mackey in the last couple of years. Think back to a couple years ago when he put Edie on a poster. Right before I think Ivy put the whole Rutgers
team.
And obviously he pretty won that game. But then obviously the next year, Braden Fletcher's freshman year, Cam Spencer hit the dagger right in front of me with like a second left. That really sucked. It was also the day of the LSU football bowl game.
Yeah, it was a fun day.
It's not a fun day. But yeah, I mean, that's, they're going to present a lot of problems. Obviously, their guards, I kind of like where our guards are going to be, obviously, with Braden versus Sears type thing, but what they've got a lot of length. Grant Nelson. Got
foul trouble.
Guys had a foul trouble. Grant Nelson, who's like, you know, the college Kevin Durant, 6'11", can really move, can shoot. I think he played at North Dakota State before he transferred to Alabama last year. He's legit. Obviously, they got Amori, who is just a rim protector, dunks everything in sight of the rim. He'll be physical. I'm sure he's thrilled to not have to go up against Edie anymore and would love to go up against Burke and the supporting cast there. I'm going to give us an update on the Champions Classic, 55-60 Jayhawks up by five. Michigan State's hanging in there.
Yeah, they are.
I was worried that you might get, I wouldn't say worried, but I thought they might get blown out.
I was hoping they would.
Michigan State team.
It's weird to see Jason Richardson's kid on this team.
I kind of also forgot that Hunter Dickinson's still in college basketball. So when I turned my TV on, I was like, this. He got stuffed by the rim. It was hilarious. He had a clear path, just went up and just like us trying to dunk. Just got absolutely stuffed. And they gave up a layup. It was great. Back to Bama. I mean, they have talent. I mean, galore. Nate Oates is an incredible coach. It's going to be a tough outing. And it's one that, I mean, they haven't shot the ball super well last three. So yeah, I'm like, God, I'm gonna just light it up from three. But the environment should be incredible at Mackey on Friday.
Purdue's gonna need Mackey's help.
We're gonna need some Mackey voodoo and some Mackey magic to pull that one out. Because right now, just with the team kind of in transition, trying to still figure things out. I mean, just what we saw on last night, with the defense of them, Yale getting to the rim pretty easily a lot of times. Like, hopefully they can sure some things up there. But it's gonna be undefeated non-con is going to be it's probably the toughest task we've probably had yet in the last couple years.
I don't think we can get the Mackey voodoo. I think that's an Arrowhead Stadium right now. So they're doing some kind of black magic voodoo stuff down there. That's the only explanation I got right now for how that season's going. The season's going for the Chiefs. But no, I'm not butthurt. It's only been over 48 hours. Yes. But different podcast. No, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. Fun environment for everybody there, but also fun, hopefully, environment for everybody to watch on TV too. And it's Friday night, so nobody wants to make dinner on a Friday night. So it's the perfect time to order some food from Mad Mushroom. And let me tell you a little bit about Mad Mushroom, as they are been a sponsor on board the Boiler Breakdown for the past couple of years. And they've been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan and I visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which the pizza of the month for November is the Mad Scramble. It's Mad Mushroom's Alfredo sauce topped with scrambled eggs, bacon, diced potatoes, red onions, green peppers, and mozzarella cheese, starting at just $14. So when you're in town on Friday, or maybe Saturday, maybe both, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. So it's not very often you have a chances back-to-back days to get some Mad Mushroom, and so I'm sure there's a lot of Boilermaker fans that are pulling the double header, the double dip, spending the night in West Lafayette. So take advantage, use the discount code, like I said, BREAK5, if you're ordering online, or better yet, just go in person, hang out, and tell them we sent you $5 off any order over $20. Yeah, it's but you know, it's it can be frustrating at times playing such a gauntlet of a non-conference schedule, but also it's exciting. You know, you look over. I'm not trying to just compare Indiana all the time. I know they play South Carolina on Saturday.
Florida,
did they? North Florida also beat somebody else too.
They're not slouch, but
the Ospreys are. We've been victim to them before. The 14-15 season. It's funny how those games just stick with you. But but you know, you look at their non-conference, besides the Atlantis tournament, it's pretty cupcake-ish.
They need to beat, I think they play Louisville first. If they don't beat Louisville, then yeah, their schedule
Louisville did not look good the other night against Tennessee.
No,
but, they didn't. Or Tennessee looked really good. You can take that one of two ways. But yeah, definitely, I think does Purdue good in the long run, especially maybe with this team. It'll do Purdue good in the long run, even compared to a few teams of the past few years.
Yeah. I mean, I even texted you guys after the game last night. I'd rather have that game against a legit tourney type team and have to kind of gut one out than play somebody like it's like an Eastern. I'm not picking on Eastern alone, but they've got their doors blown off by two Big Ten teams so far. A school like that where, you know, you've got, you know, you're not really being tested a whole lot. So
Right. So I'm all for it. Once again, it's going to be fun. 7 o'clock Friday night on Peacock. Any other thoughts on Boiler Hoops right now?
Shout out Roosevelt, or not Roosevelt, Miles Colvin. I thought his defense yesterday was a huge difference. On number four, I already blanked on his name again. I don't want to mispronounce it. Carson, I don't know what year he is. I don't know if he even says. But obviously an experienced player going up against a freshman, and he kind of made Jakari look silly a couple of times on defense, which is going to happen when you got a freshman. I think Jakari has talked about in interviews, like one of the hardest things from going from high school to college is, especially on the defensive side, is you cannot take a second off. Like, you have to be mentally locked in at all times. If you go up against an experienced player and you have a mental lapse for half a second, they're already by you. Like, you just, so I think that's probably his struggle, because with a lot of these guys in high school, they could if they got behind on a play, their athleticism usually made up for it, and can't do that at this level unless you're one of this, uber athletic guys like a Jaden Ivey, who didn't play defense but was able to still get a ton of block shots because he was just a freak. But Miles came in and did an awesome job. If he can keep doing that, he'll be hard to keep off the floor. I mean, we saw him at the end getting kind of subbed in for offense. He was actually getting subbed in for defense for Fletcher, which was pretty just kind of wild to see, especially after like last year of him not being able to play much defense at all. But I was happy for him. It looked like his dad out there when he set that nice screen. That should not have been a foul on him. Blame Yale's teammates for not calling it out. But he was awesome. I think he can definitely be a difference maker and kind of elevate this team. But yeah, it was really cool to see him step up and see Cam Heidi finally knock down some shots after a couple of rough stretches of games.
Yeah, definitely a confidence builder for him, for sure. And somebody can put in the comments if I'm mistaken here, but I think they did on Big Ten Plus on Friday, but if they did last night or last Monday against Corpus Christi, I missed it. But I don't think they've mentioned that Jakari's dad's Glenn Robinson. I'm pretty sure they did on Big Ten Plus Friday, but please, somebody let me know if they did. Maybe I just missed it, because you think they would mention that.
You think that'd be like the story, like Zach Edey played hockey, Isaac Hoss's shoes is 37 or whatever it was.
Yes.
You think that'd be
Matt something. Harms has gray hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the hair flip. Yeah.
Yep.
I guess I haven't really had a chance to. I obviously haven't watched.
No, you've been at all the games. Yeah. Yeah. So somebody please hit us that's watching live, hit us in the comments if you would, or if you're watching this at a later time, hit us in the comments. We'll see it later, because maybe they haven't. I've just missed it. Definitely could have. That Mooney, I haven't seen them mention the big dog. Didn't watch the plus game, though. I'm pretty sure they did in the plus game, which, of course, like Evan mentioned earlier, that's produced and ran by Big Ten students. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't shock me. If they put it in there, nobody else did. So, but something to keep an eye on going forward, because we need to have something if you're going to play a Purdue basketball drinking game. Gotta have something in there. So, well, let's switch gears.
We need a score prediction, or what?
Yes. We need score prediction. We need spicy prediction. We need player to game. Yes. Thank you. I was getting too ahead. I was putting the horse ahead of the cart, and I don't know why, because I'm not even looking forward to talking about where we're going to next, but, Let's go with a spicy bowl prediction first before we score prediction MVP.
Braden finally gets his triple double.
Oh wow, yeah, that's yeah, against this opponent, that would might definitely need it.
Yeah.
Will Berg scores double digits.
I like it.
Yeah. Score prediction.
That's the point yet where I'm picking against Purdue yet. So, although I would not be surprised if like an Alabama wins by double digits, like one of those things where, you know, it's you just run into a buzzsaw. As long as it's not by like 25 plus, I'm not going to be too mad about it as long as we just don't look like absolute dog water. But my prediction, Boilers win
86-85. I'll stick right around you. I think I'm going to go 82-80.
I think 82-80 was around what like KenPom predicted score might be.
I wonder what the line's going to be. I was checking my app today. For whatever reason, basketball lines for me don't come out until like the day of. I'm sure DraftKings already has them out. But
let's see here.
Which has football, you can find a line a week in advance.
Yeah. For what it's worth, ESPN matchup predictor has Purdue a 52.2% chance of winning. I thought originally, like after last time, I was like, man, they're going to definitely have Alabama winning. But then I saw Alabama only won by 8-2. It's like, maybe they'll give Purdue a slight edge, like 1.5, maybe just from being the home team. But
yeah. Well, and it's, the home team and one of the hardest venues to play in the country.
Yeah.
If not the hardest. So MVP, I'm guessing, since you're predicting Braden with the triple double, it'd be Braden Smith.
Yeah. Really excited for the Braden Sears matchup again. It's just two, awesome college basketball guards.
And I'll go with Fletcher Lawyer because he's shooting hell of a basketball right now, and he looks confident doing so. Right,
yeah, he looks so damn good. Yeah, I can't get over his little RPO before half last night where he hit the handoff and
take notes, Ryan. Take notes.
Spun around and nailed that three. So he shot it. I was like, oh, there's his first miss in a while, and it went in. I was like, what am I? I'm an idiot. Like, what am I? Why would I doubt him?
I've been hard on Fletcher at times the last 2 years, particularly his freshman year. But I don't think you're going to be hearing any of that from me this year with the way he looks so far. So I'm going to find somebody else to pick on. No, I don't like picking on anybody, but it's what we do as fans sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But now we'll flip gears.
And see
ya. And see ya. And Evan clocks out. Gotta get the background here. Oh, there it is. Yeah, at least it's the beautiful, bright blue sky there and Rossade, because it was, it looked like a nice day in the horseshoe. But 45-0, thumping, couldn't cover the spread. Moved the ball at times a little bit.
Yeah, there was the drive that ended in one of the missed field goals. Looked really good.
21 yards.
Yeah, essentially an extra point.
I mean, and that's one thing I took away from Ryan Walters' press conference. It's open kicking competition now.
Yeah. And
Spencer Porath and Ben Freehill.
Can we bring the kid back from the NESA game who hit the field goal and got screwed over by
Ryan? Right.
Give him a tryout. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's just brutal. It's just brutal. I mean, looking at the box scores, not much. Hudson was 9 for 19, 108, 0 touchdowns, 1 pick. Pick was in the end zone when it looked like Purdue might finally score. On the flip side, Will Howard was 21 for 26, 260, 3 touchdowns, no picks. They even brought in two other quarterbacks, but they didn't accumulate for stats. Neither did Ryan Brown. Running the ball, I thought Mockbee had a good game. All things considered, 13 carries, 73 yards, averaging 5.6 per carry. Reggie Love, 13 for 33, 2.5 per carry. Jaheim Merriweather, 3 for 11. Ryan Brown, 2 for negative 5. Ben Fortney, 1 for negative 5. And Hudson Card, technically 6 for negative 9. Trayvon Henderson, only 6 carries for the Buckeyes, but it's 85 yards. Touchdown. Quinshon Judkins, 11 for 32. So Purdue actually held him in check. But overall, the Buckeyes had 35 carries for 173 yards, 2 touchdowns. Receiving for Purdue, not a great day. Shamar Rigby, 1 reception for 29 yards. Jerron Tibbs, 1 for 28. Jamal Edrin, 1 for 15. Devin Mockbee, 2 for 14. Max Clair, 2 for 13. Denylan Morissette, 1 for 6. And C.J. Smith, 1 for 3. Jeremiah Smith, he's a freak for true freshman. Broke Chris Carter's receiving records for a freshman at Ohio State during the game. 8 or 6 receptions for 87 yards, touchdown. Carnell Tate, 6 for 56 yards. Trayvon Henderson, 3 for 43. I could go on and on. They had a bunch. defensively, Thieneman, 11 total tackles. He leads the Big Ten among DBs in total tackles and solo tackles. He has a pass deflection as well.
He almost had a pick. Had he probably read it a little bit better, he probably could have had it.
Yeah. Cole Brevard had the one lone sack for the Boilers, whereas Ohio State had 4 sacks on the day.
That's
one,
it.
Yep. And one interception. And then Ohio State had a punt block. That was the thing. Like, Purdue was gift wrapping Ohio State some touchdowns after the punt block.
It was a fumble.
Just a lot of dumb things you can't do. Like, that's the thing with this Purdue team's, like, not only have they been bad, it's like,
it's always something.
It's always something in the first quarter. It's like game over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I was reflecting on the season the other day in my head because I like pain and misery. like Notre Dame definitely was a huge crack in the foundation. No way to spend 6-7.
Yeah.
But I really think what turned the whole season was Oregon State. Purdue could have found a way to win that game. And I mean, ifs and buts, you look back, if they could have pulled out the Ohio State or the overtime games between Illinois and Northwestern, then we're sitting here with 4 wins. But I really think of that Oregon State game, which it wasn't even that close. They lost by 17. Oregon State's not good. They're 4-5.
Again, we gifted them, obviously, the freak pick six.
And the fumble.
The fumble to start the game, yeah.
It's just like this team can't get out of its own way.
Yeah.
On top of just not having a lot of talent or not having the guys to run what you want to run on defense or whatever the case might be. Not good coaches, whatever. All the above. It's just not good. But, you know, Ohio State now is playing in Wrigley this weekend against Northwestern.
If I was an Ohio State fan, I would be absolutely terrified for this game. Just not from, like, losing, strictly from a injury standpoint, because I went to the Purdue Northwestern game a couple years ago when it was at Wrigley, and that field sucked so much. Like guys were slipping all the time. Like, I would just be terrified that we obviously have a huge game coming up against Indiana in 2 weeks. Like,
it's the Fox Big Noon game they announced today, by the way.
Yeah. Being terrified that somebody, because they're already kind of, I know, weak on the offensive line and, like, I think on the left side. So just worried that, like, someone gets hurt. But yeah, that turf, at least, I mean, unless they improved it, hopefully they did. But yeah, that turf at Wrigley when Purdue played Northwestern was, like, just coming up in, like, massive chunks. Like, I remember, I think Aiden, I think he slipped one time, and it was just like, oh my God, like, he's going to tear an ACL. Like, it was just terrifying because that field sucked.
I didn't even realize the game was in Wrigley till late last night.
I didn't know until, like, 2 hours ago.
And what was I guess? Oh, one shout out I do have to give Purdue in the positive category about the only thing. No penalties.
Yeah.
None. All day. Crazy. Yeah. And yeah, I think against Northwestern, the offense only had 2 maybe. So.
Yeah.
I mean, they've cleaned that up a little bit, but it just hasn't mattered, unfortunately. No.
When, like, the scoop and score happened with the fumble, like, Gus Johnson, for as annoying as he is, the obituary. Like, he was just like, he wanted to get out of there.
Well, yeah, he's like, why the hell are we doing this game? It's just like this weekend, Nestler and Danielson, 3:30 CBS. It's like, it's because who we're playing. It's got nothing to do with us. And we don't know the Indiana game yet. In Michigan State, there's a good chance they'll lose to Illinois. So most likely it's going to be 1-9 Purdue against 4-6 Michigan State on Fox national television next Friday night.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? But it's not going to get any easier for Purdue this Saturday at number 4, Penn State and Nittany Lions. Number 4 right now is AP. The College Football Playoff show, I think, started 10 minutes ago. So That's really the rankings we should base it off of. But Penn State coming to town for Senior Day, 28.5-point favorites. You know, we talk a lot about Purdue struggles against Wisconsin, of course. Purdue struggles against Ohio State. You can make a case Penn State's worse than all those.
Yeah.
All-time record against Penn State, 3-16-1. And one of those wins came way before Penn State was part of the Big Ten in 1951, a 28-0 win. So since Penn State joined the Big Ten, Purdue's beat them twice. It was in back-to-back years, 03 at home, 28-14, and on the road in Happy Valley, and I believe the first whiteout ever in 04, 20-13. Since then, we've had all L's. Now, a lot of them have been closer than it has, say, to a Ohio State when we've lost or to Wisconsin. 05 was 33-15 and in Happy Valley, that wasn't close. 06, I remember this game. I took a good friend of ours to this game, and it was one of the most boring football games I've ever been to. 12-0, Penn State win in Rossade. That was watching paint dry. 07, I remember Joe Tiller getting really pissed off at the refs. This game lost 26-19, and Dorian Bryant, I remember, took the opening kickoff back there. 08 in West Lafayette lost 20-6. 2011, remember this one real well. In Happy Valley, lost 23-18. 2012 at home, lost 34-9. Remember that one real well too. 2013, Happy Valley, 45-21. 2016, this was the largest deficit until Notre Dame game this year. Saquon Barkley went nuts in the second half, 62-24 loss. 2019, we were playing with like 26 true freshmen, 35-7 loss. And then the last time we've met them was the season opener in 2022, which the Boilers lost 35-31. So not a lot of good results against the Nittany Lions by any means. And this might be, and Purdue's played a gauntlet of a schedule, a lot of good defenses. This might be the best defensive line Purdue's faced to date.
Yeah, I know. I know, I work with somebody who's a big Ohio State fan, and that was his, when they played Penn State, that was his big worry, was like, you know, Ohio State's line wasn't, you know, as good as it should be because of some injuries. And then, like, you know, they have the best, Penn State has the best defensive line. So I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Pray for Hudson.
Yeah, it's the only way Purdue even hangs in there is if they get some fluky turnovers right away that lead to points, or get you got to get up double digits somehow early, and we haven't seen it happen. We scored 10 points in the first quarter all year, alone touchdown being Indiana State. That's just pathetic. I think we've got outscored like 170-10 or something around that.
We haven't scored against a top five opponent yet. We played two of them.
Yeah, true. True. So it's probably not going to be good. Hopefully fans show up, though. I know there's, you know, boycott this, boycott that. Showed up for five games. Show up for the sixth. Not for the coaches. Show up for the players. Show up for the seniors that, even if they've played only this year, last 2 years, or their whole 4 or 5 year career, show up for them. They deserve it. And make a statement. Make a statement to everybody that, you know, we're still loyal fans who want to see a winning product. I mean, it's been amazing this year, the attendance to five games. And really, I was thinking about this today. We have never had better weather than we have this
season. Oh, yeah. For games. It's been incredible. Yeah.
Because I think right now the forecast is no rain and a high of 59 for Saturday. Wow. I mean, for November 16th. Sign me up for that every single year.
It's rainy and 34 degrees. Like, yeah. It's miserable.
Yeah.
What was the Ohio State game last year? Was that in October or November last year, Ohio State, where it was just
October?
Yeah, that was just a miserable experience. Yep. I remember the Bucket game, what, in 2019? That was miserable.
Yep.
Cold and rainy.
Fun game till Indiana won, but back and forth, double overtime game. That was exciting. But
Yeah,
it was. So hopefully fans show up one more time. Definitely wish it was the year they had 7 home games, but we will next year. Mm-hmm. I hate the 6 home game schedule, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, Penn State's good, and I have watched a little bit of Penn State this year. Drew Aller, we're familiar with him from playing with was that Clifford 2 years ago?
Yeah,
I think it was Sean Clifford. I get Penn State quarterbacks. I get screwed up.
They're all the same.
Clifford, Hackenberg, McSorley. You can just plug and play. But Aller's been good this year. 149 completions for 212 attempts, 2,006 yards, only 13 touchdowns, only five picks. He's only been sacked nine times.
Mm-hmm.
They run the ball pretty well as a team, over 1,700 yards on the ground, 17 touchdowns. Their tight end's a beast. Tyler Warren, he leads them in reception with 59 yards, also tied for the lead in receiving touchdowns with four, also receiving yards leader in 681. I watched him earlier this year. I'm like, yeah, Purdue's going to need to know where 44 is at all freaking times.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, their defense is really stout too. James Franklin can't win the big one, but he wins games that he's supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's probably going to be another ugly Saturday in West Lafayette. But with that said, Webby, what's your bold, spicy prediction?
Purdue scores against the top five team.
I like it. Purdue scores first to get the lead in the first quarter.
Then the earth goes dark.
Yep. Nothing after that. So, So both of our spicy bowl predictions could be right there at the same time.
Yeah.
There you go. There's not much else I really have to say. I mean, there wasn't much coming out of that game Saturday that we didn't really expect going in.
Yeah.
One thing I guess was I was impressed with this receiver. Like our receivers, they don't do a good job getting open.
Mm-hmm.
But they can make some tough contested catches at times.
Yeah. Tibbs has done pretty well.
Yep.
Was Rigby, was that his one? Was that the tough one?
Yeah.
Who made this? Yeah.
Yeah. Tibbs had the one he bobbled.
In the review.
That was Tibbs.
That's right. Yeah. So, I was like, I was in and out.
Yep. Yep, and C.J. Smith met his match from a speed standpoint. He couldn't get open like he could against Northwestern.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ohio State, their DBs are no joke.
Yeah, and more so than ever now. Like, they've always had pros all over the field, but now with the portal and when you got $20 million of NIL tied up, they got pros on top of pros on top of pros more so than they ever have.
Yeah.
So it's just a whole different ball game they're playing. Around the Big Ten. Let's go around the games. Friday night, this I almost said it's a Pac-12 matchup. UCLA at Washington. Washington's a 3.5-point favorite. UCLA, another upset over Iowa.
Yeah. I'm going to take the home team, though, on this one.
I am, too, just because they're at home. I don't think Washington's very good this year either.
Yeah.
Number two, Ohio State, 28.5-point favorites against Northwestern, technically at Northwestern in Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I think Ohio State covers. I'm gonna say they don't. I think they're just trying to get through this game to get to next Saturday and get a lead and kind of salt it away.
I can see that. I agree with that. Michigan State, Illinois. Illinois only a 2.5-point favorite.
Give me Illinois. Michigan State makes a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
I think Illinois covers that pretty easily.
I'm right there with you. Nebraska at USC. Even though USC is 4-5, Nebraska 5-4, USC is a 9-point favorite. They're in the headlines today because Dana Holgorsen, who used to be the West Virginia coach, then Houston coach, he was just hired last week to be kind of a special assistant, and now he's calling plays.
Yeah.
The Trojans, so, all right.
Yeah, Nebraska, their backs up against the wall after starting out 5-1. They're facing another potential.
If they don't make a bowl, I think Rule's on a hot seat going into next year.
Oh, yeah, 100%, especially starting 5-1.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. Give me USC. Just
me too. I'm just hoping for it. Fight on.
I want the hilarity of it,
Yep. Rutgers at Maryland. Maryland's a 5.5-point favorite. Both teams need this one badly. Good win for Rutgers over Minnesota.
Yeah.
Improved to 5-4. Maryland's 4-5. Yeah, both these teams will really need this one.
Give me Rutgers in the upset. They get bowl eligible.
I'll take Maryland at home. And then number one, Oregon, 14.5-point favorites at Camp Randall, NBC Saturday night game. Wisconsin loses this one. They're back to 500.
Yeah. Give me Oregon. I mean, they're clearly the best team in football right now. I'm going to say they like barely cover that. Maybe it's like 17-20.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Yeah, I do think Oregon's the best team in the country. But unlike past years, which I guess really makes this 12-team playoff format fun. There's no dominant team
this year.
This year, I mean, heck, I thought Georgia was the best team in the country. What do I know? They just lost their second game and got whooped, kind of, in a way. So, but also makes it scary when, as Purdue fans, when there's a good chance Indiana and Notre Dame are going to be in the playoffs. So.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
No. I just don't want to play them to play each other. And I've heard other Purdue fans be like, why? Well, because that means one of them's advancing.
One of them's got to
automatically.
Win,
automatically. So, and if Indiana does make it, I hope they're on the road.
If they're on the road against like an SEC, I saw them like against like Tennessee or something like that.
Saw one today projected them as a 10 at number 7 Ole Miss. Or maybe it's vice versa.
Yeah, put them on the road. Yeah.
Then the winner would get Texas.
Okay. Who also has not beat a ranked team this year, apparently.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. I did hear something very interesting today on the radio. There's only two teams in college football who have covered the spread for all their conference games. And they're from the same state.
Covered the spread.
Yep, for all their conference games.
From the same state. Man. I have no idea.
Colorado and Colorado State.
Okay.
Because Colorado, if they win their next three, which they're going to be favored, they'll be in the Big 12 championship. Mm-hmm. And Colorado State looks like they're going to be in the Mountain West championship, which Jay Norvell, I mean, we'll save this for a future podcast episode where if we're pretty sure that a move's going to be made, we'll throw out some candidates we'd like. But I will float one out there. And a lot of Purdue fans, it might not be a sexy enough name, but Jay Norvell. It's one I wouldn't mind. Used to be the coach at Nevada. He's been at Colorado State for the last 2 years. And I mean, within 2 years, he's getting them to their conference championship. And he's a Midwest guy. He played at Iowa. So, like I said, he probably doesn't have the sexiest career overall head coaching record, but that doesn't always tell the tale.
Speaking of Colorado, they are 17th in the college football playoff ranking right now.
What sucks, if they win the Big 12, they get a bye. They're
yeah.
a top 4 seed.
Yeah.
It's just my hell. and I listen to a lot of Denver sports radio because I'm a
Broncos.
And I was doing that today, and they both hosts took a side. Who's coach of the year, Deion Sanders or Kirk Cignetti? I'm like, just shoot me. Yeah. Just kill me now.
I mean, it's Kurt.
It is. But one guy, the guy who was saying Deion, it was a Colorado alum.
Yeah.
But even I think he realized he was losing the argument once the other guy was like, this is Indiana. They have to give tickets away usually. Is there the losingest college football team in the history of college football and all this
stuff? Yeah.
Like, yeah, they are.
I just can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They've caught lightning in a bottle. Don't know what else to say. I mean, haven't beat a ranked team. No, they haven't even played a team that's bowl eligible yet.
That's crazy. That'll change obviously next weekend, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure every team they played.
I think you're right. Yeah,
technically not at 6 wins yet. There's a couple at 5.
Yeah,
which if you look at the Big Ten, you got 4 of the top 5 teams in the country according to the AP poll. Then everybody else is like, well, I know we're at the bottom, so this doesn't include us, but everybody else is like meshed with like 4 or 5 wins. Like there's no other like tier in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, it's top and then meh and then Purdue.
like usually, because even UCLA is like not meh anymore. They've turned it around.
Yeah, because
in past years, I'd be like, oh, this doesn't spell good news for the Big Ten and bowl games. But now who really cares about bowl games when they're a crapshoot, when everybody's sitting out and transferring and all that. So unless you're in the playoff, I don't see players sitting out in this playoff format. Or playoff team. I mean, maybe somebody will, but
I hope not.
That would be pretty bad. That'd be like somebody sitting out in the NCAA tournament for basketball.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure both of those scenarios will happen one day. But that's when it gets to that point, what are we doing? Like, this is still college athletics. Like, where's the pride?
Yeah.
Which I saw today, Northern Iowa's coach, who's 61 years old, and you know, Northern Iowa's a very good FCS football team. Got good tradition. He's retiring at the end of the year because he doesn't like the NIL and everything. He didn't even say the portal. It was more NIL. Just didn't like it. So
Yeah, there's a video that I've seen kind of circle around. I'm not sure when it came from, but it was Tom Brady talking about how, like, talking about the NFL and how, like, we see rookie quarterbacks, especially in the last handful of years, like, playing a lot more than they have. It's because these systems have been essentially, like, dumbed down for them because they don't learn the game as much in college. Like, he's like, you know, I went to Michigan to a pro style program, like, where I had to learn how to read defenses and all that, where it's like, now you're not learning a program, you're learning a playbook, like, because there's just so much, you know, transferring around.
Very good point.
I think it's kind of like, dumb the thing down a little bit to where it's like, you know, just use your ability and a few things here and there, but that's exactly why he's the GOAT, because he dissect everything so well. And I doubt we'll have, you know, obviously Mahomes is getting up there, but I think his is more just like athletic ability and being able to create, extend plays, whereas like you had Manning and
the refs on the side.
You already had like Banning, Breeze, Brady, those guys just like absolute psychopaths in like the best
preparation play. And in between the years. I mean, I would have said Rodgers at one point, but not him anymore. He's washed anymore. So, but which you hate to see, right?
Yeah.
But any top 25 games you want to predict? Not the greatest slate this week.
Let's see here. Top 25. Clemson at Pitt. Clemson, the 10-point favorite.
I like Clemson.
I like Clemson that one. Alabama plays Mercer. Not even the line on that one.
It's that time of year where you see SEC teams start to do that.
Yep. LSU at Florida. You know, Florida's played okay last couple of games. Like, they've, you know.
Not Texas. They didn't last week.
Not Texas. No, they did not. No. You know, Brian Kelly loses this game.
Oh, my God. He might lose his job if he loses that game. Yeah, I think LSU wins that one.
Yeah.
Notre Dame shouldn't have any trouble.
Tennessee at Georgia. That's obviously the game.
If Georgia loses, I don't think they're in.
I think if Tennessee loses, they're not in. Like,
I know. I'm thinking, this might be an elimination game.
This elimination game, which is crazy. Although I still like. Maybe I take that back. If Tennessee loses, like, they would have lost to who they lost to?
Arkansas.
Okay, that game's not
on the road
right now. That game's not looking great now. But it's like, would you take a two loss? I mean, again,
maybe it's how they lose. If they lose,
if it's a tight game, if they lose by a field goal or less than 10 or whatever, it's like. I mean, for the sake of argument, like, you know, if IU gets like we've talked about, it, if they lose by 14-17 to get at Ohio State, and then you have Tennessee who loses to Georgia by three, like, are you keeping? Who you putting? I mean, obviously the thing is, like, you know, one lost teamers, but it's also like the one team they've played that was they lost to by double by two scores, and like, again, it's also just SEC bias too.
Yes, name,
viewership.
And it could come down to are the Big Ten already getting the three other teams in? Is Oregon, Ohio State, Pitt State getting that?
Actually, if you put four, that's a third of the playoff,
which that's what the Big Ten wants.
Which is reserved for the SEC.
Yeah. If the Big Ten SEC had it their way, it'd be pretty much, two thirds full of just
those. So the football. Okay, here's the official college football playoff ranking.
Hit me with it.
Number one, Oregon.
Okay.
Number two, Ohio State.
All right.
Number three, Texas. Number four, Penn State.
All right.
Number five, Indiana. Number six, BYU.
So they made up for those two. I mean, BYU had to escape that win, but so they made up for those two. I mean, they are undefeated, so that probably makes sense. But man, we are one spot away from Indiana having a bye.
Yeah, Tennessee 7, Notre Dame 8, the U at number 9, Alabama at 10, Ole Miss at 11, Georgia at 12, Boise State at 13, SMU at 14, Texas A&M at 15. Kansas State 16, Colorado 17, Washington State 18.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Screw everybody. Yeah. Nobody wanted them.
Yeah. Louisville 19, Clemson 20, South Carolina 21, LSU 22, Mizzou 23, Army 24, Tulane 25. So you've got in the top, looking at the top 12. It's obviously one of those spots is going to go to BYU, Army, whatever, one of those
maybe schools. Boise.
Maybe that's what I meant. Yeah, Boise, sorry. You've got one. I forgot Texas in the SEC already. One, two, three, four, five in the top 12 from the SEC and four from the Big Ten.
Yeah, there's nine of your 12.
Yeah. Then that's you got BYU. BYU is the only Big 12 school. Big 12.
Notre Dame would get in.
Yeah, Notre Dame would get in. And then U is the only ACC school in the top 12 right now.
So Notre Dame would be your only. So does Notre Dame care? Do they fall into the same category as Army and Boise then?
They're probably going to have to. They have to be one of those like at large. Because obviously they won't be.
So then one of the school, a Big Ten or an SEC school is getting left out.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So it says the 12 right now does not include the non Power Five or Power Four school because Boise's 13, which obviously one of them Army somebody is getting in and kicking one of those schools out. But yeah, it's
Army would have to beat Notre Dame next week, and I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either.
Hope it does. It'd be awesome, but I don't think it will. And that would kick Notre Dame out. If Notre Dame trips up against Virginia, Army, or USC, they're out.
Absolutely.
But they're playing really good football right now. I think that Northern Illinois loss was a blessing in disguise looking back on it for them.
Yeah.
I think it woke them up early. And their schedule, which was not the strongest to begin with, really turned out to not be strong at all. Because Florida State was probably the game that I thought, oh boy, they're as bad as we are.
Yeah.
Probably a little better. They're a little more talented, but they stink too. So
I think in the actual, I haven't seen the bracket, but I think Indiana's the 7th seed in the bracket.
So they'd be hosting a 10. Then playing a 2.
Yep.
Interesting.
What a time to be live.
Unbelievable. Never.
So the bracket is Oregon 1, Texas 2, Miami 4, BYU 3.
Yeah.
8-9 game is Tennessee hosting Notre Dame. 7-10 is IU hosting Alabama.
Oh, that would be funny.
I mean, the whole Caleb DeBoer storyline, that'd be.
I think Alabama would buy out a fourth of the stadium.
I think so too.
They'd find a way. I don't know how. They'd find a way.
Ohio State 5 seed hosting Boise State and Penn State 6 seed hosting Ole Miss.
It does get the college football fan of me excited hearing those matchups. Yeah. Like, I'm going to tune into the playoff, but damn it, my two least favorite teams.
Yeah. I can stomach Notre Dame because I'm used to it.
Yeah.
At this point, I still hate him too. Maybe it's Marcus Freeman because I love him, but the other schools, it's hard to stomach. But
yeah, I've always said if they rooted. Like people like said, gun to your head, you had to pick one. I always said I'd root for IU over Notre Dame, but now when we're getting close, I don't know. I don't know if I could.
Yeah, so
this has been awful. like I actually sat down and watched a full IU game the other day.
Oh, the Michigan game.
If Michigan had any offense whatsoever, they win that game. But because you can feel IU starting to tense up for the first time all year, but Michigan's offense like ours, painful to watch. Like Donovan Edwards, man, you're on one of the cover athletes for College Football 25. You've been
pathetic. Yeah, I haven't heard about him at all this year.
It's been pathetic. But whatever. I don't want Michigan to be good either, but I want to beat Indiana, of course. So. Oh, what a time like to be alive, like you said. Any other thoughts before we close it out with a sponsor read?
I mean, the basketball schedule starts to really ramp up real fast.
Alabama,
and then obviously probably won't be recording next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's a late one too, isn't it? Is that eight or nine? Yeah. 9 o'clock tip somewhere.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm so sick of playing them.
They come to Mackey next year. Let's see here. Tuesday, it's a 9 o'clock on FS1. So maybe we could
record. Yeah, we could. Maybe. Stay tuned.
Yeah. But other than that, no, I mean, I'm excited. Like, I love basketball, so I'm so happy it's back and ramping up, and games like the Champions Classic, whatever it is, just gets me excited to watch other college. Although, like, I found myself, I was just like going like, oh, this game's on ESPN. Ugh. Because I don't watch ESPN anymore because it's Big Ten's not on.
Right.
I do like Jay Billis, though. He's a guy like him. But yeah, I'm excited to watch some more Big Ten basketball.
Yes, sir. Yeah, like, and you know, anybody who listens or watches this podcast knows I love football, and I particularly love college football. But this season's taking it out of me. I'm glad basketball is back, and we only got 3 more weeks of Purdue football, and we're gonna have a lot to talk about either way after the season, because it is test my patience this year.
Yeah,
and every team I hate's good. So
yeah, that doesn't help.
Just fine. At least Illinois is falling off a little bit, but still, there's a good chance they win 8 or 9 games. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. But it's almost Christmas time. I mean, we are getting close. I literally told myself, I was like, Tanner, you need to start Christmas shopping. And I still haven't done it.
We're because almost
it's, away. I know it's going to sneak up on me. And I guarantee you a few things I want to buy for people, I'm not going to be able to get in time. So, because I'm an online shopper, people, I don't like to go to stores. So, whether you are a retail in-store shopper or online, you can get some great merch from the shop.
Absolutely. The shop bringing hometown apparel to the fans since 2011. Now have 3 retail locations around Indianapolis, 1 in Carmel, 1 in Broderpool, 1 in downtown Indy. So if you're in and around Indianapolis over the next month, stop in. They've got awesome stuff, whether, you know, it's professional sports in Indiana or all the, you know, as many colleges you can think of in Indiana, they've got something for you. But if you like you like to shop online instead, actually, we got a deal for you. You can go to theshopindy.com, use promo code BREAKDOWN, that's all caps, BREAKDOWN, and you'll get 25% off your entire order.
Yeah, I'm long overdue to place a new order. I really need to do that. Even if it's not for Christmas, I just need to do it.
Yeah.
Because, well, I could buy Christmas gifts and just get whatever I want, and then I could have it earlier before Christmas, and everybody else got to wait. There we go. So... Well, Webby, let's boil her up, hammer down, and roll on the tide and somehow upset the Nittany Lions at Rush Ross Edge.
God help us. Absolutely, boil her up.